Hello, I'm Jason, and this is number three. This is My Journey 2012 to 2020. This is take two, because I had a battery issue with one of my cameras, so I had to start over. Fortunately, I was only 2 minutes into it, so. The first one was just a quick recap, and we're going to jump into it. I'm excited. Well, the first one was about when I moved from San Diego to Long Beach in 2012, and I started living on the street. And it was about some of the things I went through and how I lived and, you know, went to school there and so on and so forth. And then the number two was about organic food and sustainable living. And there's some great information on that video if you'd like to see it. All these things are on Periscope, on YouTube, and there's an audio clip on my website also that you can see. And I'm excited about this one, but before I get into it, I want to say something I didn't mention last time. There's two organic foods that I wanted to mention. This is great bread. It's my favorite bread, and I'm so stoked that they have it in Hawaii because I started eating it in Long Beach. And, you know, you can't get everything in Hawaii that you can in the mainland, and sometimes it's more expensive. This was, it's not cheap here. You know, normally it's $9.99 at Safeway in Kauai, but it was on sale for $7.99. But like I said before, you know, price really doesn't matter when it comes to organic food. You're already saving money by not eating out at restaurants that don't sell any organic food. And it's preventative medicine, and it's you only got one body. So, there's a lot of protein in this, and there's a lot of fiber, and I think it's the best organic bread I can buy because there's no sugar added, and it's whole wheat. So they sweeten it with fruit juice, which is kind of unique and original. I also, I talked to this guy on Twitter years ago, it's called Dave's Killer Bread, and he has a very interesting story that you might want to look into. Here's the other item I wanted to share with you. It's just organic carrots. But these carrots are three different kinds, three different colors. Orange, which is traditional here in the United States. And then white and blue or purple. So the purple ones are great. They're a little different. They have some other properties in them that are healthy that you might want to look into as well. So without further ado, I'm just going to mention a couple things that I did in Long Beach before I left. Like, one thing that I did was I stopped using a cell phone, and I actually left my cell phone on a bus bench on Pacific Coast Highway. You know, when I moved up there from San Diego, I was really upset, and I didn't know what the deal was with the government because I had trusted the government up until that point. And, you know, when they broke down my door in 2011 at 6 in the morning, threw me and my former wife in jail, took my kid, destroyed the medical marijuana collective, and destroyed the plants, and I had to fight 4 felonies. And they finally gave me a 1 misdemeanor plea deal on the day of the trial, and I took it. And it's not a drug charge either. It was child endangerment, which is absolutely absurd. But I digress. You know, I'm going to share with you a lot of things about how you can be private and why you can be private. And, you know, one of those ways that is I don't have a cell phone plan. I don't want to be tracked, you know. And it's not just because I'm afraid. I'm not afraid. It's actually more because I'm a unique, original person. And I don't want cookie-cutter morons to spy on me and learn what I'm doing on their terms. You know, if I tell somebody something or want somebody to know something, it's going to be on my terms and in my timing. It's not going to be because a satellite looked over my shoulder and read what I was writing. It's not going to be because some giant corporation tracks me from cell tower to cell tower. So even now, I don't have a cell phone plan and I don't want one. I'm not going to pay a penny to get spied on and tracked. I keep my phone, which I inherited from my mom, so to speak, after she passed away. My dad gave it to me. I keep it in airplane mode all the time. And when this thing dies, I'm not going to replace it. Just like the iPad. I have no interest whatsoever to replace those two things after they croak. I'm not a big fan of Apple. And they're very expensive items. Way too expensive. But, you know, since I was raised with the first computers way back in the mid-1970s and early 80s in Southern California. So I think that, you know, I've put to my know-how with these devices, and I'm milking them and using them for what I can use them for. So I listened to the radio everywhere, which was a fun thing in Long Beach. I had never really went back to radio. I had listened to the radio when I was a kid. You know, I first started listening to the radio, oh, I was probably 13, maybe 14. In San Diego, and I listened to everything from hip-hop to, like, 91X to, you know, rap and rock. My parents were just strict Christians and conservative, and they didn't want me to listen to the raunchiest stuff. But they gave me some freedom when it came to music, and that was a good thing. So when I moved to Long Beach, I went back to a radio, and I just bought, you know, like a $10 radio from Walmart. I took AAA batteries, and every day I would listen to that. And so I heard talk radio. You know, I didn't agree with what I was listening to sometimes, like when Ben Shapiro and company were speaking. And my tweets reflected, you know, my skepticism and my questioning. But, you know, it opened my mind and it informed me and gave me the chance to communicate with these people that have influence. And also I listened to lots of music, and then when I took that to Hawaii, and I started listening to the radio there all the time as well. Now I have Spotify, and I listen to music all the time, and I like that a lot. I downloaded all the music to the device, so I don't even have to plug it in. Or, I mean, I don't have to get online to hear it. And that's a good deal. You know, I used to spend a lot of money on music, and so spending 10 bucks a month on basically almost any song under the sun is a pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned. 120 bucks a year. You know, I was spending that in CDs and stuff when I was a kid, I'm sure. So I started listening to NPR, which was a lot of fun, and Hawaii Public Radio in Hawaii. HPR is a fantastic organization. I've donated money to them before. They just really have a good lineup, and it's pretty much down the middle. You know, it might lean left a little bit, but it's not like mainstream media, and they're not, it's not weird or anything, you know, because I haven't heard them in a little while, but when I was listening, they had BBC radio on there really late at night, and they had NPR, several different NPR shows throughout the day. And also some reggae and stuff, too, from time to time, and other artists. And there's a music station that I used to listen to in Hawaii as well that introduced me to a lot of new bands and music, and that was awesome. So I challenge you to pick up a radio as well. Why not? So this is about my journey from Long Beach to Honolulu and how I plugged into Honolulu. I was already real skeptical of everybody and everything, you know, people were walking by and I would stare at them in the eyes to make sure they weren't eyeballing my stuff, like they wanted to steal it. And when I got that random check in the mail from the Apple, class action lawsuit that I didn't even, you know, think twice about or anticipate, just one of those things I signed my name on that, you know, came in the mail, and I said, sure, why not, I'll be part of this. And then I got almost exactly as much as it cost to fly one way. And so I did not tell one person that I was moving to Hawaii, not even the people I was going to school with. And I moved there, and in the middle of the school year, it was November, and I dropped all of my classes after I got over there. It was fantastic. It was a great decision. I would do it again. I would recommend it to anyone. You know, I had been to Hawaii before as a vacationer, but I had never lived there. So, you know, you see a different side of it when you live there. And it's great. I just really wanted to be able to breathe cleaner air and to just sit down and not be rushed, you know? Whenever you're on vacation, it's always a rush. You got a certain amount of days. You got to squeeze all these things into these days. And it was just awesome not having to do that and just thinking my own thoughts and my own time and thinking there's nowhere I got to go. And there's no time I got to be there, you know? So it wasn't easy getting to the airport because I was in Long Beach and I went to LAX and I was flying in the morning. So I had to leave with my luggage in the evening. And I remember that I took a series of buses and trains and I had to walk a little bit. And, you know, I wasn't able to get a bus and stuff that early in the morning. So I had to do it the night before. Excuse me. And then I ended up crashing out for a little bit in LAX before the flight. But it was so early in the morning that I remember they asked me to get up and not to occupy the space like that. So when I got to Hawaii, they have a different rule on the buses. You're not allowed to bring luggage on the bus. So I had to get a taxi. And I took off my shoes and threw them away in the airport as soon as I landed. And I got rid of most of my clothes before I left. And then I got new clothes. You know, when you live on the street, you gotta wash your clothes and you gotta throw them away pretty often because they get just filled with auto emissions and you can't get them out. And then they get filled with your sweat, which contains the auto emissions that you were ingesting. It's pretty gross. You know, in Honolulu, I went to 24-Hour Fitness's sauna. They have one downtown and I would sweat out the toxins. I did that in Long Beach as well. The Lakewood Gym, 24-Hour Fitness, has a sauna. And it was great. You know, I just felt the junk coming out of my pores. And also, if you get stung by something like a mosquito and you quickly go to the sauna, it helps that poison get out of you. So when I landed there in Honolulu, I got a taxi. I had hardly any money. I had just barely enough for the taxi and the storage unit, and might have had a buck or two after I paid those two things. And the taxi driver, while really caught me off guard, because I had been real closed. You know, I didn't tell any of my peers in Long Beach not even the people in the journalism department that I was writing with, about, you know, everything I had went through. I might have mentioned a bit or a piece here or there about what happened with all, you know, the move or why I was there or what was up. But I did not share anything. I didn't want anybody to hear me. I didn't want to think about it with anybody. I just figured I'm going to push all this down and deal with it myself. And maybe one day, you know, I'll share it with somebody like my daughter. That's it. So this taxi driver he asked me so many questions, you know. If he worked for the government, or if the government decides to spy on people, you know, taxi drivers, that's the way to do it. Because this guy was so friendly and so nice and relatable, and he just asked me 100 questions, and I felt like I couldn't ignore him, and I didn't want to lie to him, which is another option. You know, I could have made up a story too, and I could have made up a fake name. And I just, you know, I have no interest in lying. I think lying makes people dumber. So I shared a lot of personal information with that guy. And it was surreal. And he took me to Ala Moana, which is a place that I hadn't been to before. And I rented a storage unit there. And it worked out perfectly, you know. I have gotten into the habit of not researching places that I want to move to, because I don't want anybody knowing that I'm moving there, you know, and not just the people in the room, but whoever might be spying on me, or my emails, or my search history, or whatever, you know. So there's been several times when I've just moved somewhere sight unseen without even researching it, or perhaps I looked it up a little in a book, or just looked up one or two things to know if they had the bare minimum of what I needed. You know, when I visited New York in 2012, I actually bought the ticket in the Long Beach airport online with a debit card, and I flew there without telling people about my plans. Now, one of the reasons why I didn't mind, you know, being broke as a joke at that point was because I had residual income that was coming in. I was counting on $75 a week and also had an online business that was making a little bit of money too. So it was erratic, and I didn't know when the online business would bring in money. And whenever it did, I was happy and it was a blessing, but it was unpredictable. So that's one way that you can do something exciting like I did, is if you set it up in advance to have a business or residual income that you can count on, then you can, you know, then you can spend the money in your pocket and know that more is going to come. You could buy a plane ticket, show up somewhere, and then you know, okay, if the worst comes to worst and I can't eat for a week or two, I know that I'm going to have, you know, $225 here from this day if I count it that way in about, you know, 15 days or whatever. It really helps out a lot. I have not asked one person for a penny since I started living on the street in 2012, and I don't want to either. I've had a family member and my best friend offer me, and you know, they're very, very nice for their offers and for their generosity. But, you know, I grew up with a lot of rich people, and I have a lot of rich friends, or I had them, you know, I could look them up, I could find them on Facebook, I could ask them for money, I could show up on their doorstep, but, you know, that just isn't me, and that's not what I'm doing, that's not the purpose of my journey and what I'm up to. Money, I'm a writer, and having loads of money isn't going to help me write, you know, isn't going to help me focus, you know. It's just not, it's going to do the opposite probably. You know, I look at money as a responsibility, as a steward. You know, you got to do the right thing with it. And if you know what the right thing is and you can be disciplined, then it's a good thing, but it can also get you into trouble and cause some problems too. So, you know, my dad was self-employed as I grew up, and I think I got that spirit and that mindset from him. And so I've been self-employed as well for many years. And it takes a certain kind of person to be able to do that, you know, because it's just a little more unpredictable when you count on yourself for the money that's coming in, and you can't just count on a paycheck on the 1st and the 15th or whatever. But I think everybody should be allowed to own their own business and run their own business, and that they should teach kids how to do it when they're young so they can start earning money, you know, right away out of high school. It would be wise. So after I got over there, you know, I slept at night sometimes, but I realized that if I slept during the day, then it's cleaner at night. You know, Oahu is very crowded. You know, the first thing that I said to a politician there was that, wow, this is really loud, because a motorcycle drove by me when I was in Ala Moana sitting out front in the Starbucks at the Wi-Fi. It was extraordinarily loud. And the air pollution was horrible, but the noise pollution was ridiculous too. So I asked Mayor Caldwell about it, and, you know, it's just, Oahu has changed a lot even since I moved there in 2014. And I'm going to share some of the ways it changed, but, you know, one thing that happened was a skyscraper went up right there in Ala Moana in front of me, and it is so, so big. I didn't bother looking up its name or how many stories, but it's dozens of stories high. And I was able, in 2014 in November, to be able to look right from my chair there and see whether or not it's going to be a good sunset or not. You know, sometimes it's all clouded over. And then after that skyscraper went up, I couldn't see anything. The sun would disappear like around noon or so. It's pretty wild. So I started thinking, wow, if I can sleep days, then I can enjoy the nights. And there are a lot of things in Oahu that are open at night. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing that on any of the neighbor islands, because they close early and there's nothing to do. Unless you'd like being outside by yourself with nothing to do. You know, but in Oahu, I bought a bike, and so I would ride that over to Ala Moana Park, in the morning, sometimes right before the sun rose. So I thought it might be smart to give my eyes a rest and go to sleep in the dark, and maybe it would help me stay asleep. I almost always slept without a tent over there, just laid down a tarp and a blanket over me, and I locked my bike to itself into a tree. And I had good luck with that, you know. One time some moron kicked me in the head, but that was the only time that I'd been hurt sleeping outside. And it didn't kill me, and I ran over to a police officer and made a report as soon as he did it. I was disappointed that the police officer didn't chase after him, because I saw him walking away with a girl, and there was a police officer right here, because in Alamoana Park there's a police station. And I was screaming and yelling and pointing, and I, you know, the cops didn't seem like he was interested in getting this guy for me. But he listened to me and took down the report. So I also used a tent sometimes there in Alamoana Park and other places. But they started to change the law and the rule, and they started coming after people for tents, and they wouldn't let them keep them up anymore. Which is kind of too bad, because, you know, some people take advantage of it and they ruin it for everybody. You know, I hate it when that happens. But one good thing about the tent is it prevented you from getting bitten by bugs. You know, I was bitten by bugs a few times there. I think from ticks and cockroaches. And you do not want to get bitten by bugs if you can help it. If you take something like garlic supplements, don't take them before bed, or else you'll be a bug magnet to certain types of bugs. My bike was stolen I had a couple issues when I was there. One time it was stolen when I locked it to a bike rack in Alamoana in front of the storage unit long term. And when I say long term, I mean I just left it there for a few days because I bought a new bike and I didn't know what to do with it. I was thinking about selling it, and people started parting it. And I thought, oh, great. Then another time when I walked out of the Super Sport 24 Hour Fitness gym on Kapi'olani, my front tire was missing. And so someone ripped that off there. And then one time when I was in the library, somebody ripped off my seat. So all those three things happened. And oh, and the seat had a bike rack attached to it. And so they made off with that as well. So I started locking the seat to the frame. And that way nobody stole my seat. And I started locking the front tire to the frame, to the lock, to the bike rack. And that way nobody could steal the front tire either. Those kryptonite U-locks are the best ones. I have a fantastic one called a word lock that is a combination one, so I don't even need a key. I don't even have any keys at all whatsoever. And it's great that way to not even think about keys or touch them or worry about where they went. I met a guy there shortly after I moved. It must have been 2015. He's a Russian guy named Sergei, and he was married to a Japanese woman, and he always went to the Coffee Bean over there on Kapi'olani, and it was right next to my gym, so I went there too quite a bit. They were open early, about 5 a.m., and, you know, I just get talking to the people that I see repeatedly sometimes, and even strangers that I don't. Once in a while, we get into conversations, and so I talked to him, and he shared with me the RT News website. And I thought it was fantastic, you know. I had been used to hearing very different kinds of news. And it was such a blessing just to hear other sorts of news. And I have been a big fan of RT ever since. You know, the U.S. government in recent years came out and, you know, said weird things about them. But, you know, I disagree. You know, I know those anchors from hearing them enough. And even people like Lee Camp, you know, I have respect for. And I think they reveal a lot of interesting truths that our media misses and ignores. So check them out, RT News. I watch them every day online. And that doesn't mean I stopped watching the other news. I still watch all the other ones as well. You know, it's just one voice of many that I think is important to hear if you want the full truth. Because these media outlets don't give us the full truth. They give us part of the truth. So Sergei was cool, and we even struck up a friendship, and he was a real estate agent, and he would take me with him up to Waimea Bay, and I would catch waves there while he tried to sell his house. And it was so cool. like how big, crazy, scary waves there. Now, I don't know how people surf there. I bodyboarded, and I saw one surfer, and he kept eating it. Because, you know, it's like, it's pretty much shore break. It's not as bad as Sandy Beach, but it breaks, like, right in front of the shore. And before you know it, man, it tosses you up there in a few inches of water. And so I can only imagine the Eddie Aikau tournament goes off when it's gigantic because it's breaking way far out. Because you can't catch any of those normal big waves and 7-8 footers, 10 footers, whatever, you know, by the shore in a surfboard, unless it's a real quick ride and you're real skilled and you get out real fast. But I had a blast on the bodyboard. It was so much fun. I also took a bus to Pipeline, and that was pretty cool. There was a surfing tournament, and I think Kelly Slater was there and a bunch of people. And so I wanted to catch some waves there. I had caught real big waves in San Diego and ridden waves my whole life. And so I went up there in the evening time, and I slept at the elementary school across the street on the concrete, and those damn roosters woke me up at about 4 a.m. That was one of my first instances of being subjected to early morning roosters going crazy, because you don't hear those in most places in Honolulu. I hadn't heard them. And so I went out there, and it turned out that they canceled the tournament that day. And so for only about 45 minutes, I had a real intense session. I think it was due to wind. They canceled it, and the waves were like real slingshotty. So it was kind of dangerous, and there were quick rides. But it was rad because there was a crowd there. And so I was out there catching waves and doing 360 spins and wondering if any pro surfers were checking it out or not. A bus is a great way to get to the North Shore from the South, and the waves stink in the South, at least in Ala Moana. Wasn't even worth going in. But I believe it is about a 2-hour bus drive all the way to the North Shore. But the North Shore, it reminded me of like a peaceful suburban community in San Diego, you know, where everybody slows down and there's just a little nicer, something like Lakeside or maybe Santee. When I was in Ala Moana, I spent some time in Kaka'ako, which is, they're right next to each other. And there's a bunch of wall art there that's beautiful. I took pictures of that. And there was a, you know, one unique thing about Hawaii is the rain. I hadn't been used to rain in Long Beach, but Hawaii rains constantly. And so, you know, it altered my sleep patterns. I had to figure out what to do. If you're living on the street and it rains, you either got to find a sleep spot that's covered, or you got to find a sleep spot that's next to a sleep spot that's covered, if you're smart. And, you know, I also discovered that the police officers in Hawaii were much nicer to the homeless people than the ones in Long Beach. The ones in Long Beach, you know, were ticketed people for having shopping carts, for sleeping, you know, on the concrete in certain areas. But in Hawaii, no, they're much nicer. And when it rains, they're even nicer still. And they'll even let people trespass a little bit when it's rainy if they're homeless and they found a spot that's covered that's a business at night. You know, they want you gone in the morning, you know, at the break of dawn, 5, 6, 7, whatever, before the business opens for sure. But you know, I would recommend, I'm going to give you some tips, and I would recommend showering every day if you can. You know, there's public showers. A lot of homeless people went to the Ala Moana showers and probably still do, and showered every day. And they don't even look like homeless people when they get cleaned up. You know, one of the annoying things about the people in the public library is some of them didn't shower for, I don't know how long, days, weeks, months, and they just stunk. And nobody can do anything about it. So it's, you know, take care of yourself. If you get a cut or something, you know, I wouldn't recommend getting into fights if you can help it. And if you get a cut, they seem to heal slower, you know, when you're out in filth all the time, and it's harder to keep them clean. So try to keep it clean. Check out the Foo Fighters song, Keep It Clean. Starbucks was a place I started visiting a bit there because, you know, they're the one in Alamoana, Kaka'ako, that one was opened at, I believe it was 3:30 in the morning. So it was great when I stayed up all night, and it was great when I would go to the gym at 1 o'clock, or midnight or what have you. It was just boom, boom, boom. Walmart was open 24 hours there. And one of the fun things I did was connected with the mainstream media in the wee hours, because when it was midnight in Hawaii, it was either 5 or 6 a.m. on the East Coast, depending on whether or not they did daylight savings at the time. And so that's, you know, at 4 a.m. they start broadcasting in CNN anyways. So I had MSNBC, CNN, and it was great to be able to, and Fox News on three different screens, and I could tweet them and connect with them based on what's going on. It was a fun endeavor, because I had been studying journalism in Long Beach, and it was right up my alley. I would even listen to the radio and hear the BBC in the morning. So I had four news sources I would listen to, because I wanted to be so informed. I ended up making a web page for RSS news feeds from all over the country and the world, and using it to stay on top of the news after Google Reader retired. And when Google Reader retired in 2013, I stopped using the Google search engine. And I recently stopped using Gmail. They're just not a company that really cares about the truth or information or people. They really care about money. So I don't buy into what they're saying or doing anymore. You know, most locals were real nice, but a couple of them tried to fight me. You know, one of them was because there's a sleep spot I had slept in a few times, and then he showed up there, and I said something maybe I shouldn't have said. I just said that, you know, this was my spot, and he went off and said, like, nobody has a spot. This isn't your spot. There are no spots, and you know, that resonated with me a little bit. You know, it's really first come, first serve out there. Some people don't care. You know, I had another Hawaiian guy or local guy take my spot when I used to sleep in front of the children's center over in Kaka'ako, and after that, and he didn't buy into that principle. I told him that was my spot, or he just didn't get it. He didn't care. You know, he was taking it whether I liked it or not, and he was going to take it repeatedly, and so I had to move a bit. He was right over there in a moped at night. And, you know, I stayed out of fights, but arguments, yeah, got into a few arguments. And I was real sad, and I still do get sad and cry when I see the area around the children's center there, because they chased all the homeless people away. They're in encampments, and I don't know where they are. But it was pretty sad, because there was families and kids there and stuff that were living there that had nowhere else to go. And I think it's easy to go find, you know, a place to live if you don't want to be around businesses, if you don't want to be in the city around with the stuff you need, you know. But it's a lot harder to find good places around the stuff you need. So like I was saying, most of the locals were nice. A couple of them had issues. I think there's some mental illness among some of the homeless people. You know, I've seen there's some people that smell like poop and continually. I don't know if they're making a statement or if they don't realize it, but you know, you don't want to poop outside. You don't want to touch people with poop on them. You know, if you got to poop in a bag or poop in the toilet, but you know, don't just poop outside wherever you want. I used to sleep in front of the Kinko's that was across from the fire department there. That worked for a while. And then eventually 7-Eleven moved into place, and that it didn't no longer work because they were open 24 hours. But so things evolve and change, and you got to go with the flow. You know, and sometimes I slept nights for days, weeks, months. Sometimes I slept days for days, weeks, months. I did both for years. Make sure you've got a good, clean water supply. That's important. you know, you get more dehydrated when you live outside because of the humidity. It pulls the fluid right out of you. And you sweat more, and it's just, you gotta stay hydrated. And dehydration causes all kinds of health problems, including making you tired. You know, so when I had a bike, I rode it everywhere there. I went up to, like, the Safeway on Baratania, and they had Wi-Fi. I'd get online, get some lunch or something, go down to the streets of Down to Earth. You know, they had Wi-Fi, too. The trick is finding places with electricity, and that's what I would do is, you know, go to a place with electricity, make sure I was all charged up, go to a place or two that didn't have it, charge it down, then go to, like, a Starbucks that has it, then go, you know, somewhere that doesn't, like, maybe one of the libraries. Libraries are hit and miss when it comes to electricity. You know, some of them have it, some of them don't. So just be mindful of what you need and what others need and what you got available. I like the Macaulay Bike Shop is fantastic. Those people are really cool. They've got good prices. They have good work. You know, I bought grips from them. I bought a used bike seat from them after my bike was stolen. After my seat was stolen, I mean. And they even stole my seat post. And those are not easy to find. You know, you can buy a seat at Walmart, but you can't buy a seat post. And they sold me a seat with a seat post, both used. And I think it was like $5. And it was absolutely perfect. I rode my bike from the state library where it was stolen over to Macaulay's. With no seat, and bought a bike post and seat there. And there's a park there as well next to Macaulay's. They actually have two Macaulay's bike shops. One is the repair shop. They don't sell many items there. And one is the storefront shop where they sell things. And they're almost across the street from each other. They're sort of adjacent. The sunsets were amazing there. You know, I went to Magic Island and saw the sunset a lot. And Alamoana Park, you know, I wrote poetry, and I kept writing books there in Honolulu. All kinds of stories with my brand new world series. It really helped everything. And it helped heal the pain, too, of just, you know, losing my daughter, you know, custody, and the way the government treated me, the way my former wife treated me and divorced me. You know, I was real hurt and real upset at a lot of people. And Hawaii was just real therapeutic. You know, it was just what I needed. You know, it helped me to focus on important things. And I didn't want to live in denial. And I didn't want to drown my pain in alcohol. So be careful, too, about drinking. You know, I would recommend not drinking alcohol or having very little. Because if you drink too much, then it's going to make it easier for you to make mistakes. And somebody could beat you up or steal your stuff. You know, I would not show anybody money, electronics, wealth, any of those things while you're living on the street. I would get a storage unit and I would put anything valuable in there at night before they close and get your sleep stuff and go outside and crash out. You know, I was in a good routine there, and I would crash the same time every day and wake up at the same time, more or less, every day, whether it was daytime or nighttime. You know, if I slept in the day, I would go to sleep around 5, 6 a.m., wake up around 2, 3 p.m. If I slept at night, I would go to bed about 10 o'clock at night, wake up about 6 o'clock in the morning, just religiously. And it's good to have a steady sleep pattern no matter where you sleep, but that worked well for me. My favorite times were the early morning hours because the air was so clean, it was peaceful, and it felt like solace, you know. I really liked it. Not a lot of people out. I got to write, think, feel, sing. You know, my least favorite time was probably when there was traffic. Cars are gross, and I got hit by a car or vehicle 7 times in Oahu in a few years. Most of them were by white people. So that stereotype where Asians are bad drivers, well, they didn't hit me more than the white people. And in Oahu, Asian people dominate. It's probably 80-some-odd% Asian there. I was in the minority for the first time in my life. And there are very few black people there as well, for what it's worth. But I had grown up, you know, with an American Chinese best friend, living in Southern California. So I was used to diversity, and it was happy, right up my alley. Traffic is my least favorite time of day, and probably the hottest part of the day, you know? Because if I went somewhere like 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I would just arrive there like a sweaty mess. And cigarette smoke was disgusting, and I couldn't stand it. And so it's always good to know which way the wind is blowing, you know, because you don't want to sleep downwind of cigarette smokers. You're going to just breathe it all night. And I think, you know, you got no soul if you smoke a cigarette on a homeless person, especially if they're trying to sleep. And you got no soul if you steal from a homeless person. I don't care if you are a homeless person. Don't steal from people. So I had to argue with cigarette smokers over and over and over because they just don't have respect for people that are breathing. Also, if you smoke marijuana, know which way the wind's blowing, because the wind is strong in Hawaii and there could be cops downwind. You know, I didn't want to risk, you know, getting... I don't risk anything. I don't assume that I'm going to... I don't want to rely on somebody's grace to stay out of jail. And so I don't take marijuana with me on planes. You know, I have a back issue where I was recommended marijuana in California. And, you know, I never brought it with me on planes in Hawaii. Because, you know, I didn't trust the federal government, the TSA, to find it in my bag and look the other way. Just plain and simple, because it's a Schedule I drug. So anytime, anywhere, they want to bust you, they can, since it's a Schedule I drug. Fortunately, there isn't like a federal police force, you know, that's on the lookout for people that can arrest them. So the feds have to go out of their way to bust you. But eventually they did. You know, under Jeff Sessions, they busted the real nice people that I bought weed from in Chinatown. I don't know what else they were selling. I never wanted anything else. But these people were, like, friendly. And they were helping people that were suffering and in pain and selling them quality marijuana. I grew marijuana, and so I know what it is and what it isn't. And this stuff was good. It was fine. And one day, they came and arrested them. They busted, I believe it was 14 people that they threw in jail. And I was very upset at the way that they treated them. And what had happened after that was morons moved in. Selfish, scheming morons. And I got schemed by one of them, trying to buy weed. This guy, when I was going to the bathroom there, you know, by the canal there, down across from Chinatown, he walked in there and had a little container that looked like it was from like a chewing tobacco, and said he had weed in it and wanted to sell it to me. And he wanted it for a lot of money, and he didn't want to show me what was in it before he sold it to me. So I told him no, but it was hard because I wanted some. My back hurt. And so I hung out with him for a little while, talked to him, and eventually he sold it to me. And he kept telling me, don't look in there. Don't look in there until I sell it to you, then go. And so after I bought it, I did look in there, and it wasn't. It was like a couple of twigs, and I got ripped off. And so I confronted him. I said, hey, I want my money back. And he said, he used the respect card and said, you don't respect me. I told you not to look in there. And I'm going, you ripped me off. And he's like, you don't respect me. And so I just kept hounding him over and over and over until he gave half of my money back. I gave him 40 and he gave me 20. And then I just cut my losses and left because he had a friend that looked like he was going to fight me if I didn't go. And it's real tough. You know, you can't go to the police with that. At least I don't think you can. You know, because they could always arrest you for a controlled substance and issue charges, as far as I know. I didn't want to risk it. And so the medical marijuana situation in Hawaii is horrible. And so it's not recreationally legal. And, you know, you have to get a recommendation from somewhere, and then I believe there's only like one or two collectives around, or dispensaries, and so it's not cheap. And so I really liked, you know, giving my money to the homeless people that were selling it. I thought that helped them out a little bit. And then, you know, I met an African-American woman, and she asked me if I wanted to know where I could buy weed, and I said, okay. And I had given her like a dollar before, because she was poor and I wanted to help her. And I think maybe that was why she wanted to help me. And I think I gave her a few bucks for helping me, or bought her a bus pass. And she showed me I had to catch the 2 bus down to, I believe it was Kalihi. And she showed me a nice little spot here by a park where some real nice local Hawaiians were willing to be friendly to me and nice and talk to me. I got bitten by mosquitoes while I sat there, but it was worth it because they were cool and had good weed and didn't mind selling it to a howley like me. One time I got a ticket for sleeping in Ala Moana Park, and I had to go to court, and I had to either pay a $50 fine or do 7 hours of community service. And so I chose the community service, and I cleaned Ala Moana Park, which was funny. And I broke it into 2 3.5-hour sessions and started in the morning, and it was great. There was no problem at all, and I was happy to clean it and help. And even I even met a guy there too, who was working there, and he smoked a joint with me. So a lot of people like weed there, and they're happy to, you know, give you a little or smoke it with you or even sell it to you sometimes. So those are the tips and things that I wanted to share with you. The I guess another thing too is your laundry. You know, I recommend waking up early. You know, also do your laundry, and I had to go to a laundromat, and it wasn't always easy. You know, I had to travel about a mile from the storage unit to the 24-hour, you know, Don Quixote laundromat, and there's some strange people in there sometimes, and sometimes people slept in there, and nobody was on call or working there, and so it's, you know, it has its share of problems. The nicer one down the street was like another mile or two, and it was good. It was a little cleaner, nicer. I think one of them had Wi-Fi, but you know, I didn't want to have to travel an extra mile or two normally. But you know, stay on top of everything you got to do, you know, and you'll be happy you did. I like to prepare for the morning and the evening, so everything's ready. You know, prepare my food, my clothes, my head. You know, just get everything ready in the evening so you're ready. And one thing that I started saying and thinking and realizing is the longer you keep the place clean, the longer they'll let you stay there. You know, homeless people inevitably are sleeping places and stuff based on grace. You know, people have the heart and pity them and let them sleep on their property, but they don't have to. You know, so if you toss cigarette butts everywhere, you know, and if you leave crap around, you know, they're going to kick you off sooner than later. And they're not just going to kick you off, they're going to kick everybody off. And if you leave food and junk around, and maybe cigarette butts, it's going to attract bugs, and then the bugs are going to bite you and bite other people. So, you know, there really needs to be a code among homeless people for what to do and what not to do, because some people just do whatever they want and it causes some serious problems for everybody. But be careful when it comes to your trash and your filth. You know, you don't want to mess the place up. You want to leave it as nice as you found it. You know, I lived in Hawaii for 8 years now. I've lived in Hawaii 5 or 6 years now. And I have not burned a drop of gasoline or an ounce of coal. And I have not eaten any food that's not organic. And I'm proud of myself for doing that. And nobody in Hawaii can look down their nose at me and go, "Ah, you stupid howley, you destroyed the place, get out of here," kind of thing, you know? I'm not the guy they want to attack. I'm not the guy they want to hate. I'm the guy that's setting the example. So that's all for this lesson. And the next one is going to be on my trip to Miami. And I moved to Miami. I left on Christmas of 2017, and I lived there for about 4 months. I lived in the Coconut Grove community. I went there sight unseen. Didn't even hardly do any research. I just, when I realized that they had a storage unit a health food store, and a 24-hour fitness. Not even a health food store, just a store, a grocery store. But I realized that that could be somewhere that I could live. The weather I knew was going to be good. I checked the weather as well. The weather is real similar to Hawaii because it's close to the same latitude. And I moved there. It was awesome. You know, I put a note on my bike that said, take it, it's free. And I, you know, caught a ride over to Miami. And I took everything out of the storage. You know, I left right at the end of my prepaid time. I got a taxi because I had too much stuff to take on the bus. And so on Thursday, April 23rd, I'm going to broadcast about that trip. You know, I visited Key West and the Everglades. I wrote more books. I did that all before I moved back to Oahu. And I visited San Diego right before I did that on my way. So, thanks for listening. I wish you the best. Have a good day. Shoots.